Okay, where we stopped last time, this is Dee Wuzan with Faith, Love, and Truth. This is episode 4. And where we stopped last time was the being born again versus the Holy Ghost baptism. Just one second. Bear with me here. And we had mentioned that being born again was the initial salvation experience. Of being born again, the well of living water is created within us, within our hearts, which will spring up into the Holy Ghost baptism once Jesus has been resurrected and into everlasting life. John 4 and 14. Now, the Holy Ghost baptism, the well of living water that was created within us upon being born again of spirit is filled to full, to overflowing, baptizing and immersing us from the inside out. We can receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of Jesus, who is also the Comforter mentioned in the Bible. John 4 and 16, verse 26 and chapter 16, 7 through 8. We receive power to be effective witnesses unto Jesus Christ in word, deed, character, and life and love. And we receive an anointing and power for service to do whatever the Lord Jesus may have called us to do. So we will receive the fullness of Jesus, first of all, to take in his character, to help us to learn his word, to be filled, rooted, and grounded in the word of God, and also to be filled with his character. His character, the fruit of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, his love, and in word, deed, and character, and love, and to be witnesses unto him in the earth. Effective witnesses. The reason why a lot of people don't come to church is because, or don't want to come to church, or they down churches, is because we are not witnesses unto the character of Jesus Christ. A lot of people within churches are witnesses unto the devil and his evil and wickedness and hatred, envy and hatred of the brethren. And that's what turns people off. And they tend to hold God responsible for this. God is not responsible for this, because within his word, he is against all of this, all mistreatment, all harm and wickedness, and you know, everything that is of the devil. God is against that. So we are addressing the crucial issue of salvation because of God's great and intense love for mankind that he has expressed over and over again within the scriptures of the Holy Bible, and his desire to not see any perish. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And these scriptures begin with Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 32, chapter 33 and verse 11, Jeremiah 18 and 8, Acts 3 and 19, and Acts 2 and 21. So God has an intense love for mankind that we can hear all throughout. In the book of Isaiah, he says, come, let us reason together. God, this is God Almighty, but meanwhile, he's like bending down. Let us reason together. He's bending down to talk to us. He sent his angels. He sent his prophets. He sent his messengers. And he sent the visitation, Jesus, to minister to us, to identify with us. He has done all that he can. I read a scripture where after Jesus I died and resurrected, and the apostles, before they saw him or whatever, or during one of his, whatever, they were out fishing. They have gone back to fishing, and he was on shore fixing them fish. He was fixing dinner for them. He said, come and dine. This is God Almighty. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is cooking dinner for the apostles and just welcoming them back and instructing. I mean, God has really been so compassionate and loving and merciful to man. And man has just been vicious. I've read scriptures where you snap, man snatched his shoulder when turned his back to God and whatever. God has a great love for mankind, and he doesn't want any to perish, to die and go to hell and be eternally damned. He wants everyone to receive his salvation, and that involves acknowledgement, confession, and repentance. Nonetheless, even in today's time, many have received different versions regarding the salvation of their souls, which are not supported by the scriptures of the Bible. And according to the word of God, some may believe that they have received the salvation of the Lord when in fact they may have not. This is very disturbing, and this is really a serious thing, because we've run into different people who, oh yeah, they're saved and whatever, but their life doesn't manifest any character, any godly character, any righteous character. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they find every way that they can to go around the law. It's heartbreaking. And then we've run into people that feel like they are so anointed and they're prophets and they're running around. And one of the things that we were impressed upon in prayer is that there are a lot of people that call themselves ministry gifts and prophets and whatever, and they are doing drugs, they're smoking weed, they're opening themselves up to the demonic spirit realm, and they are going forth and speaking on behalf of God and ministering to God in error. Now, there's familiar spirits that do know something about people. Nowadays, they call familiar spirits monitoring spirits, which is a little bit different, because monitoring spirits are somebody who is watching people closely, where familiar spirits are spirits that are familiar with your life and what goes on in your life, or what has happened in your life, the events that have happened and gone on in your life. Just like when Saul went to a lady with a familiar spirit to inquire of Saul, who is dead. I mean, inquire of Samuel, who was dead, but the spirit told him the truth, but it wasn't the spirit of Samuel, and it wasn't the spirit of God. So we have a lot of spiritual error that's running around. And like Jesus said before, by their fruit you shall know them. So people that are doing drugs and clubbing, and it's not so people are doing drugs and involved in a lot of demonic activity. Those are not people that are saved. And like Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. So although the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, made provision for all mankind to receive his salvation, as the Bible indicates, salvation is not automatic. And all men need to realize and acknowledge man's need for salvation, acknowledge his or her own sins, faults, errors, and need for salvation, confess his or her sins to God, and sincerely repent of his or her sins. Experience a change of heart. That's what repentance. Experience a change of heart and mind from sin and from the ways of the world toward and move toward the Lord and his righteousness. We have received a mandate to feed the Lord's sheep, which we take very seriously. And out of God's great love and sacrifices for all of us, Jesus sacrificed his life, but he was tortured. He was tremendously tortured more than any man to receive in his body the punishment that we all deserve. And then he hung from a cross. He was nailed to a cross and bled to death. He shed all of his blood for all of us, the innocent life, for all of our sinful lives, to blot out our sins and to put us in right standing, to atone for our sins with God, put us in right standing with God the Father. So God was appeased by what Jesus did. God was not happy at his son being tortured and suffering, but he was pleased by Jesus' sacrifice to be able to save his creation, man. Whew. The Lord's desire for the genuine salvation of the souls of men, and out of love for Jesus Christ and his people, we must obey. And that's why we are attempting to feed the sheep and giving you these scriptures, giving you this word, trying to present things according to God's order from the beginning, so that, again, we can all develop a solid and sound foundation in the Word of God and in our relationship with Him and in our salvation. It is important that all people, especially people of God, receive His truth according to His Word. The Lord Jesus Christ often referenced the written Word of God, as the apostles, prophets, and disciples also did after Him, and He commanded the religious leaders to search the Scripture. John 5:39. When tempted by Satan in the wilderness, Jesus stated, "It is written," Matthew 4:4-10. Regarding the armor of God, mentioned in Ephesians 6:11-17, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit, which is the only weapon included in the armor of God. All other parts of our armor are for protection. This is why the written word of God is our primary source. It is, and it should be, our primary source of God's word, not what we may hear or feel in the spirit realm. Because in the spirit realm, there's everyone there. There's us, we're speaking, the spirit of the Lord is speaking, and the spirit of the devil is speaking. And we have to be sure that we are hearing from God, and the written word of God is our primary source for that. And when we have become rooted and grounded in the word of God, when we hear things, we're going to know what's of God and what's not of God. Like Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, another they will not follow. And they hear my voice and they follow me. So this is why the written word of God must be taught and preached to people, especially at this time in the world today. Wherever he went, it is always noted that Jesus was always teaching and preaching the word of God and revealing and explaining the word of God to people. However, for those who may want to hear words of prophecy as a testimony of, well, the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. That's Revelation 19:10. What could possibly be better than insight and or additional insight into the scriptures, which represent the word of God, which manifested, the word of God manifested, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As genuine believers and followers of Almighty God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to sincerely and earnestly return to the teaching and preaching of the written word of God and the gospel of salvation as taught and preached by Jesus and his apostles and prophets. Now, this is there was a church a while back, some years ago, and a lot of people came from all over, all walks of life, to this church. And the reason why they came was because the word of God, the gospel of salvation, including the ministry of deliverance, was being preached and taught. And that's when that particular church really began to grow. And people were addressing their faults and their sins. And some people were trying to turn from them. Some people were not. But that word was going forth. And whenever we are following God's order, God's precise order, that's when the Lord blesses. When we get away from God's order, that's when things tumble down. And as long as that word in that place was being preached and taught, and there was some order to that place, God bless. God bless. And like God, like the Bible says, God honors those who honor him. And when his precise order is being followed and he is being honored, then he blesses. He confirms his word. Now, an example of someone who is not called by God to minister, who is not rooted and grounded in the word of God, who does not live and operate according to the written word of God, but who dwells and operates only in the spirit realm, as some want to do, is Simon the sorcerer. And that's brought out in Acts chapter 8 and verses 9 to 23. And I'll read that. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Now, this goes on in the church. In the church, these spirits are present. When the spiritual element is high, just like in concerts where there's a lot of elements and a lot of energy, you know, these conferences, these concerts, and in church, when the spirits are high, there's all spirits present. There's human spirits present, the spirits of the Lord are present, and the spirits of the devil are present. And a lot of this comes out of like people like Simon. They bewitch. There's spells. There's covens in churches where people are in agreement to control people. They're in agreement to keep people from going forth. They have joined in agreement to things that are not of God. And that's why a lot of times people always want you to come to church, because they can tap into these spirits and tell about you and your life or whatever, and oh, this is somebody that's really called of God. They must not go forth. We must do everything we can to stop them. Or someone, okay, this is somebody that will fit right into our program. Bewitchment, sorcery, witchcraft. This includes spells. This includes charms, charming people, just like the devil. When the devil was in the Garden of Eden and he approached Eve, oh, did the Lord say this? This is not really true. So he fabricated the story. He was the first gaslighter, because he gave them a false reality. And he was using witchcraft, sorcery, whatever. And there's another scripture that says, woe unto him who gives his neighbor drink, that he may uncover his nakedness. So again, this is the spirit of witchcraft, divination, fortune telling, this can also come out of the music. If musicians or speakers are operating in wrong spirits, what they are doing is they are leashing those spirits out among the people. So people, without knowing it, are under spells. Spells have been cast on them. They've been loosed. Lust and wantonness has been loosed upon them. And there's a lot of demonic things that are going on in the world and in the churches by people who have not been called by God. They have forced themselves into a position just like Simon. You know, he has given out that he was some great one, and people give heed, and because he has bewitched them. He has bewitched them with sorceries and bewitched them with spells and with the wrong spirit. So if we move down to verse 18, this is still Acts chapter 8, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. The Holy Ghost represents Jesus, who is the ultimate gift of God. And the Bible even says in the Old Testament, we shall be redeemed without money. And so he wants to buy In fact, he wants to buy Jesus. He thinks that Jesus can be purchased. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. That is the key. If your heart is not sincere and true and honest with God, if you have some other motive, like money or attention or power or control, God knows all of this. If your heart is not right in the sight of God, yeah. And so it says, he says, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. So your heart is not right with God, you're in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. And a lot of people that are in gifts, false, and they exercise false gifts, they're bitter. They operate in the gall of bitterness and hatred, and they're in the bond of iniquity. Just anything wrong and harmful to someone else, because it's all about them, because they must give out to the world that they are some great one. And they're bewitching people. And this puts me in remembrance of that scripture that says that if it were possible, they would deceive even the very elect. But those that are truly called by God, that seek him out of a true heart and are truly called by God, you can detect this. Those people can detect this. And like the Bible says, from such turn away. Have no part with them. Have no part with evildoers. From such turn away. So moving along. So now we will proceed with a brief review of the main points of episode 1 and episode 2. So with episode 1 in review, before we attempt to experience salvation, we need to adhere to the first principle of first listening and hearing the word of God and the gospel, which is the good news of salvation from a qualified God, Jesus ordained teacher and preacher, not someone like Simon. And you can tell by Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. And he also said, know them that labor among you, because there are a lot of people that do put on a show that they're one way when there's some way altogether different. But like Jesus said, that we are to be cleaned up from the inside out. So as we hear, receive, and believe the word of God, and believe the word of God within our hearts, we then begin to acquire the trust and faith in the Lord and his word. Then by our faith in the word, we can then state with our mouths what we have believed within our hearts, which equals salvation by our faith in the Lord and in the word of God. And this, we're going to cut off here. And this was episode 4. We're going to be coming shortly with episode 5. God bless you all.